Positive Solutions with Dr. Gordon is a podcast which focuses on contemporary social and educational issues from an educational leadership and behavioral research perspective. We will delve into those issues that are important to you as we listen to understand the needs of others and positively respond to address those needs, concerns, and/or fears. Professionals in their respective fields of expertise, in addition to friends of the podcast, will share their unique perspectives of positive solutions to what matters to you most. Join us every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central Time, as we share positive solutions to those issues that are important to you.
Thank you very much for joining me on Positive Solutions with Dr. Gordon. Today we have a number of educators from the Big Island of St. Croix, United States, Virgin Islands, who will share their thoughts, their strengths, and also their areas for continued growth, working 100% virtually during this unprecedented time of the pandemic. So we'll hear from them ways and tips of how they navigated this time in which we're living. And so stay tuned right after the trivia segment of this podcast.
Do you know a whole lot of information that you would like to utilize in a fun and useful way? Or perhaps you like learning new fun facts, which can be used as conversation starters at a meal with a friend or while standing in a long line. The Ultimate Trivial Pursuit Question and Answer Book contains fun facts of sports and leisure, science and nature, arts and literature, history, entertainment, and geography. Test your skills with others every week as we begin our episodes with fun trivia. You'll be given 6 questions at the beginning of the podcast, and you will have the opportunity to post your correct answers to all 6 questions to drgordonpodcast1@gmail.com. The first person to post all 6 correct answers will have their names announced as the winner on the following episode. The person with the most wins after 50 episodes will win a gift certificate from our podcast's gift basket of tangible goodies. Who knows? Maybe you can win dinner for two at a restaurant in your area or enjoy a full body massage from a licensed health and fitness spa. Don't be bashful. Join the fun every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central Time on this podcast, Positive Solutions with Dr. Gordon.
Now let's get started with our trivia for this segment of our podcast. And our category for today will be geography. Go ahead and get that sheet of paper out, a pen and a pencil. Listen carefully as the questions are read twice. Listen carefully, write the correct answer down to those 6 questions that you will hear. Now we're gonna do something a little bit different. We are going to have the questions posted onto our YouTube channel so that you can actually read the questions and you can take your time and you can then follow each one of the questions and then answer them within the comments section of YouTube. So if you're listening to this on one of the podcast directories, you may want to go to YouTube and read the questions and then answer the questions right there in the comments section. So I want to just say thank you to a good friend of mine, Laurel Hicks, who suggested that I may want to include having the questions written out so that individuals can then read the questions and not have to replay the podcast. So we'll have the questions uploaded for you for the former episodes that we have done in the past and also for this one. So check out the questions in the comment section of YouTube. So now, are you ready for question number one? Here we go. Again, I'll say the questions twice. Listen carefully. Write the questions once, write the answer once on your sheet of paper or on the comment section as you respond. Question number one. What is the name of Spain's famous cold soup made mostly from tomatoes? What is the name of Spain's famous cold soup made mostly from tomatoes? Question number two. What Cuban naval base has been leased to the United States until 2033. What Cuban naval base has been leased to the United States until 2033. Question number three. How many of the world's 10 highest mountains are in Asia? How many of the world's 10 highest mountains are in Asia? Question number four. What river, celebrated as being blue, looks decidedly brown as it flows through Vienna? What river, celebrated as being blue, looks decidedly brown as it flows through Vienna? Question number five. Which planet boasts the tallest mountain in the solar system? Which planet boasts the tallest mountain in the solar system? Question number six, and our last question. What commodity is collected from the lakes of Cyprus when they dry up in the summer? What commodity is collected from the lakes of Cyprus when they dry up in the summer? Go ahead and submit those answers. All six answers do need to be correct in the comments section of YouTube. So again, you're going to submit all of those six answers in the comments section of the YouTube channel for this episode. Feel free to go back to the previous episodes and take a look. I will go ahead and post in the comments sections the six questions to our trivia segment of the podcast. Have fun.
You're listening to the podcast Positive Solutions with Dr. Gordon, which is uploaded weekly on Sunday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central on your favorite podcast directory.
Very pleasant, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me on Positive Solutions with Dr. Gordon. We're very fortunate to have with us a number of educators from the Big Island of St. Croix, United States, Virgin Islands. And so I'll just introduce each of our guests just really briefly and have them say hi, and then we'll just get right into our discussion for this afternoon. We'll talk about a little bit about what it's like working 100% virtually because of the pandemic, and then we'll talk a little bit about the accreditation process that we went through and what that was like virtually as well, and then what our next steps are going to be as we navigate this unprecedented time working virtually with our students and providing the support that they need, as well as the support that we need as educators for each other. So I have a great group of individuals, just a few of them from one of our schools here within the district. And so we have Dr. Sally A. Camacho. She has been on our podcast before. She's actually one of our first guests. If you can go back into the archives and check it out, she was on with Dr. Migdalia Cruz Atherton. So Dr. Camacho, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here today.
Awesome. And so Dr. Camacho, she's an English teacher as well as our English as a second language teacher at John H. Woodson Junior High School. And then we have Mr. Remy Krosky. He's one of the social studies teachers. He teaches eighth grade U.S. history also at John H. Woodson Junior High School. Mr. Krosky, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
And love the background.
Yeah, palm trees and beaches.
Woo-hoo. There you go. That's what it's like. So to our friends in the States, you know, hey, this is what you're missing, but you're welcome. Once you take that COVID test first and it comes back negative, then you're welcome. And then we also have joining us by way of audio, we have Miss Beverly Pryor, and she is one of the special education teachers for our seventh graders. So thank you so much for joining us, Miss Pryor.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me, Dr. Gordon.
Absolutely. It's a delight. And then we also have Miss Bianca Stevens, who is one of our vocational education teachers, as well as a department chairperson for our vocational education program and our elective teacher. So thank you so much, Miss Stevens, for joining us.
Good afternoon, Dr. Gordon. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. It's great to have all of you here. And just a disclaimer, none of the educators, neither myself, we're not representing John H. Woodson Junior High School, and we're not representing the St. Croix School District. And therefore, our thoughts and opinions and views are solely those of the speakers as we share our personal experience working virtually 100% during this unprecedented time of the pandemic, where we're working safely from home, making sure that our students are receiving top class education still, instruction still, and learning takes place still. So again, we do not speak on behalf of the school nor the school district. So again, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me. And we're just going to talk about three things just really briefly. What is it like working 100% virtually? And anyone can feel free to jump in. Since March of 2020 to the present, we have been working, you know, we've been in front of the computer screens every single day, ensuring that instruction, quality instruction takes place, learning takes place, and holding seventh and eighth graders accountable to making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. What has that been like? What has that experience been like? Let's start first with some positives. What are some pros to working 100% virtually?
Okay, anyway. So I'll start, Dr. Gordon. So,
sure.
One of the things that was really surprising for me is the personal interaction and the personal relationship that you get to build with students virtually. And I did not expect to enjoy personalities to this extent virtually as I have working in the classroom, because in the classroom, you have a physical presence. You could hear them, you could see them, you could touch them. But what has come through for me, what I've experienced is that the students are unique, and even virtually, you get to witness their talents. I have one student who has he uses American Sign Language, and he is one of the most vivacious students in the class. And so he engages in discussions. He's one of the first to raise his hands. He makes jokes that put everyone at ease. So when we see him, we are seeing his intelligence, we are seeing how affable he is, which endears him to adults. His peers enjoy his company to the extent that if he's not on, they will say, okay, where is he today? Where is he? And we had to tell him, well, he went on a little vacation. And so that was one of the surprising things to me that happened virtually, is this personal connection that you're still able to develop with your students, and that students are able to develop among each other.
Wow, that's amazing, because you mentioned that he is hearing impaired, so he utilizes the American Sign Language. So he has a teacher or paraprofessional who works with him for all of his classes, and he's still able to engage virtually. And his presence is still felt, that even when he's not present, he's missed. And so
yes,
Working virtually has not been a hindrance. It's also been a bridge to build a greater connection with the students. Would that be accurate?
Yes, very well paraphrased. Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Another thing that I've seen is that they're willing to help each other. So if they struggle on how do I use the chat box, or how do I raise a hand, or how do I get my point across, kids, you know, even virtually, they help each other out. So that's been very positive. that they're able to walk their peer through certain scenarios, certain situations.
So they're learning the content as well as learning how to navigate technology as well. And even as adults, we learn. I remember that when we were getting ready for accreditation, that we were meeting with the students, and we had some grade level meetings and team meetings. And we had all of the students there and their parents. And I was trying to figure out how or where was one of the students who was having difficulty accessing the group team that we were in. And one of the eighth graders, you know, they were like, okay, Dr. Gordon, here's where so-and-so is, and here's what you need to do. And so a junior high school student was, you know, walking me through some of the technology of what the platform we were using at that time. So we all learn from each other, and it has been a great opportunity for continued growth and not a hindrance. And so have you seen, Dr. Camacho, more partnership with the students working collaboratively to support each other online?
Yes, I've seen that. You know, with my ESL students, language is their struggle. And so they need a lot of visual support. And so being virtual doesn't make it too easy for them, but they have been able to walk each other. The good thing about when the breakout rooms came out, I was able to put them in the breakout rooms and on Teams, and you know, they're able to help each other get to what they need to do. So that is a positive that they're able to do that.
And I love with Zoom, the fact that you just mentioned it, there is ability for educators, for teachers to utilize the general classroom setting. And then if teachers need to give some work to the students and then work with a number of other students in a group, there's some breakout rooms that the teacher can just go back and forth with. And so I like that feature with Zoom, where we have additional components in technology to assist those who might need additional support.
Dr. Gordon, I totally agree with Ms. Camacho as well as Ms. Pryor, Dr. Camacho, excuse me. I also would like to add to that it offers, also not just Mr. Pryor was saying, getting to know the students better. It gives them an actual opportunity to be more comfortable area or venue where they're actually in their homes or their bedrooms, wherever the case is. And so they're able to participate more. I find some students are a lot more willing to participate in discussions, activities, whatever is going on, because it enables them to step aside of their shyness if they're prone to shyness or being vulnerable. And so they're open more for discussions and being a little bit more live and posting things and engaging a lot more, as opposed to just being there in class in front of 20 or 30 other students where everyone's eyes are just right on them. Of course, you still have the exceptions to the rule where you're still going to have students that are just shy altogether and they just don't want to step out of that shell. But I do find that it does give opportunity to some other students to just open the door a lot more and to really step out of that, as well as I think it's the efficiency is great as well too. I mean, just getting away from those rote tasks that we probably get entailed with. We're more exposed to exposing them as well as to ourselves to more online teaching processes that that's beneficial to them. I was amazed at the fact that the students didn't know as much as I thought they might have known in terms of being accessible with a computer and, getting all sorts of different information and stuff like that. I mean, they're great gamers, you send them to research something, they can Google it right away. But when it came to using tools that were really readily available through, whether it's Microsoft Teams or Microsoft, not trying to promote anything here, you know, any of our other activities or different websites that we as teachers may, you know, maybe get introduced to, I found that a lot of the students were kind of like lost at a point. And I was amazed because I just look at this generation as, you know, the tech generations, you know.
And they are, but we're exposing them to additional tools to add to their toolkits, like those brands that you mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. They caught on pretty quickly. So you know, that's just to go in their, you know, in their checkbox, definitely. But it was just still a little like, wow, you know, like, I'm like, you're telling me that I know a little bit more about technology than you do. That kind of gave me more of a boost. And so it encouraged me to want to really delve into it a lot more and to really expose them to even more that was out there. So it was a learning process, or is a learning process, for both me and the students. So, you know, those two things, I think, really just kind of just put it over the top for not only for them, but for me as a teacher. And I just, I really do love the fact that because we're not physically in front of them, we're still able to maintain that rapport, relationship, and really get to know them. And I think this platform has really forced me to even get to know them on more of a deeper level than I would have been able to, even if they weren't there, you know, presently in front of me, in front of class, you know. So, you know, it's awesome. I think it's a good platform.
Yeah, it stretches all of us, the students, even us as adults, as I shared earlier. And for those students who are shy, like you mentioned, there's also that feature in Zoom. Hey, we're promoting Zoom unintentionally, but we're just sharing best practices and what we have found to work. There's also that chat feature. So if a student might be a little bit, intimidated in speaking up on the mic, they can just, you know, type into chat what their question is, or they can contribute that way. So there are multiple ways in which teachers can grade students for classroom participation. Thank you for sharing that. We all have been stretched because of this. Mr. Krosky, how about you? Has there been any positives?
The whole situation has been, not the whole situation, but I think for me, the most positive thing is the obvious, that we as teachers who love our profession and love being in front of students and educating them to make sure that they can get the academic skills that they need. I think in the middle of a pandemic that we can still do that is, to me, one of the most positive things. The amount of students that they need everyone in their lives, but when you have access to teachers who really want to teach you and help you academically grow, they need that. And for us to be able to do that is a great thing. Imagine if we weren't able to do that for some reason, where would our children be within the next year academically within school? They would have lost so much. So just because we can, in the middle of a pandemic, still be able to reach out to our students and teach them and talk to them and guide them and do whatever it is, all the other things that we are able to do, I think that to me is one of the most positive things. It could be worse.
That is true. Hey, you know what? We all kept our jobs as educators during the middle of a pandemic. A number of folks, you know, we're not as fortunate. Instruction still continued and learning still continued as well during a pandemic. And I believe that educators have been the ones leading the way to demonstrate that the world doesn't stop because of whatever might be out there that is impacting or impeding our abilities to perform. We just find an alternate way to continue to do what we've always been doing. And educators are very flexible individuals. You know, we find multiple ways in which we can accomplish the goal and achieve that outcome, that positive outcome. And so kudos to what you're doing in the classroom, because it's a challenge as well. And so thank you for sharing the positives. Are there any areas for growth? Because is it a challenge? What are there any challenges working 100% virtually? Well, I see that smile.
Well, go ahead, Dr. Camacho, since I think he was going to say something. There, as positive as can be, I mean, yes, there are challenges. For me, one of the main challenges for me, it might be for all the other educators too, is that I'm not physically in front of them to where I can, it's like I'm blocked, I'm behind a window and I can't really guide you the way. It's one thing to do it from a computer screen, but then it's another thing where you have the students there in front of them, where you can give them physical examples of how to do something properly. You can still do it on the screen, but it's much easier when you can go to their paper and you can individually talk to them, or you can go to the board and show the whole class. And you can still do that here, but it's still not
different. It's not the same, right? Correct. Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. It's different. It's not quite the same. However, do you feel that the outcome is perhaps the same, different, less, more? It might vary from topic to topic depending on what you're teaching. Yeah.
Right. To me, reading is the big thing for me. Because I teach U.S. history and we talk about reading a lot and also doing some writing. But the minute this screen shuts down and I ask you to go home and read, a lot of that may not happen. But if I have you in my classroom, I could sit next to you and we can read together, or I can say, go ahead, read to me, tell me. Whereas if we're in, unless we're in a closed off room where it's one-on-one, then that's something else. But in the classroom, I could quietly go next to the student while all my students are there and just say, okay, Paul, you know, go ahead, just read this. You know, you don't have to read too loud to where everybody can hear you. Just read to me. And because they may be embarrassed to read out in front of it. But on a screen, unless, like I said before, we're in a one-on-one classroom or, little section off to the side, a little room.
The breakout rooms.
Breakout rooms. But other than that, you know, to me, I just prefer just to really be in front of the students.
Right, the face-to-face interaction, I understand. Right. We also understand the reason why we're doing it virtually, and it's to make sure that we're all continuing to remain safe at this unprecedented time. And fortunately for us, very fortunately, from March of 2020 to January of 2021, to my knowledge, there have not been any cases of students or families of students that I have known of within our district who have become infected or ill or have passed away because of the pandemic, number one. And number two, our instructional time has not been interrupted compared to our counterparts in the States, where they still had school 100%, they still had school and had to keep closing down and trying to navigate instruction and also learning. And to me, that hinders instruction and hinders the learning for those students. However, we have not had to experience that. And so instruction continued, learning continued. It's not quite the same, of course not, but it still continues. And then that one-on-one, we try to get it using technology in those breakout rooms where we can say, okay, I'm going to assign the class by fours or by twos, and you're going to read this little section of the chapter, you have this other section to read, and then we're going to meet back after 10 minutes and then we're going to discuss. So that's perhaps another skill that we can utilize in our classrooms that might help.
Well, for me, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Karski.
Yeah, with the reading, that's one of the things that I usually do with my smaller classes. With my smaller classes, I usually have different groups and I have them read to each other and everything. So that does help and that does work.
Right. Go ahead, Ms. Stevens. I think you're muted, Ms. Stevens.
Yes, I was just saying I wanted Mr. Karski to just finish up the train of thought that he had there, because he's on a roll to represent Mr. Karski. Yes, so I just wanted to kind of add to the discussion that we were having in that, just like I mentioned before, in terms of the knowledge of technology and the use of it, it has forced me to be a lot more open, you know, more welcoming of it. But it also had to make me come out of my own comfort zone as well, too. So it's a pro and a con. And so not only just for the students, but I think as educators, you know, we've really had to step out even more past what we're, you know, we're usually accustomed to in terms of working with technology. And so, you know, it is just, I'm kind of just, that's a little bit
out of comfort zone. Right. And Ms. Stevens, what advice or what thoughts would you share with other educators for those who might say, those teachers who might say, you know what, these students are not showing up to class. And if they were in school, I could make sure that they come to class, but now they're at home working virtually. Is there a system that might work to hold students accountable to make sure that they're showing up to class on time, staying engaged and not just turning off their cameras and doing whatever, who knows what they're doing? Do you know of a system that might work?
Well, you know, nothing is, I'm glad. And I think as educators, where it's an ever revolving door and we're continuously trying to come up with different ways to try to make sure, ensure that our students are taking advantage of the full academic process. But I have, about some different things that I have, you know, put into my classroom that's kind of assisted me in making them a lot more responsible and accountable.
Do you mind sharing that?
Well, I'm sure everyone's already familiar with exit tickets, just a way of being able to leave class.
Did you say exit tickets? So again, we're not just talking to those who might be within our district. We have individuals from the States, Europe, who might be watching this or listening to this. They might be asking, what on earth is exit tickets? Could you share what exit tickets are? What does that mean?
Yeah, for individuals who are not too familiar with it, exit tickets are just pretty much a kind of formative assessment tool that kind of gives teachers a way to assess how the students have understood the material or have, you know, were able to get whatever information they were supposed to get. From the class or the classes or the sessions, and it could be something that's daily or weekly, depending on whatever it is that's being taught. And so for us, in order for the student to actually come out of the class, whether it's for that day or for that week, you know, proceed to the next class, you know, there are different types of assessments that can be used to let them know that, hey, yeah, you're doing great, you're comfortable, you know, be comfortable, be okay with what's going on. You were able to gather or gain whatever it is you were supposed to gain for today. And so what I've done is I've implemented an email exit ticket where the students are supposed to, or they have to email their parents with my email connected concerning pretty much what they've done for the class and the fact that they've participated and were able to gain whatever objective that we had for that day. And so those emails are sent out prior to them leaving class for the day. And upon receipt of those emails, that's their exit ticket in order to leave class and to go ahead and go to their next class for the day. And then by the end of the day, the evening, or, you know, whenever the parents are able to respond, the parents then respond. It could be anything from a word to just an emoji. Whichever is more comfortable for them, that's fine. And so this is done daily. And then at the end of the week, those daily emails or exit tickets, they combine as points in order to give them a participation grade for the week. And so if they had 5 days in that week, each day that an exit ticket was sent out or the exit ticket email, parent email is sent out, they get 20 points for that day. By the end of the week, if they have 5 days in that week, multiply that by the 20, that's 100% for participation for that week. And so it gave gives me a great way to keep them accountable and responsible, as well as their parents to be accountable and responsible for their own child's, work in terms of what they're doing and what they're not doing. And so, like I told the parents, if you haven't received an email today, be concerned. Just know that, your child is probably not doing what they're supposed to do. And so that's something that has been so far, it's been fairly effective. I do. it's a lot more work, but I like the fact that everyone is involved in a process of being responsible and accountable.
Right. And so basically... Right. No, absolutely. The students are held accountable as well as their parents, because so John Doe or Susie Q, before they leave class, they would then send an email to you and also copy their parents' email and with that for that exit ticket. And then the parent is responsible then to give a thumbs up emoji or a smiley face emoji or say, I got it to you, which lets you know mom got it or dad got it or grandma or grandpa got it.
Exactly.
And there's 20 points each for each day. And then on Friday, they get a culminating point of 100 if they were faithful and consistent in doing that.
Exactly.
I love that. I love that method, that exit ticket. Wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's like I said, it's a labor of love, but that's what we teachers do, and that's how it is. So, it does put a little bit extra time for the class session, the class periods. It does take away a little bit, and then also, there's a constant ringing of emails coming in, but I just feel like it's worth it. And, I don't have as much issues as I may have had in the beginning in terms of not only attendance, but participation as well.
Right. No, thank you so much for sharing that. And some educators are going, wow, let me write that down. And so you've just helped a lot of teachers out there. So I like that. A great way of holding both students as well as parents accountable for their child's learning. Anyone else wants to share some areas of growth that you have seen that, Ms. Stevens saw an issue that was, could have been a possible problem, but she looked at it as an opportunity for growth and devised a creative way to tackle that. And that's amazing. Anyone else came across some areas of potential growth that you were able to find a solution to deal with that working virtually?
Yes. So one of the challenges that I face as an educator is being present to assist students, say, for instance, in like a close reading strategy. So one of the things that I would have students do if we're in a class is use close reading strategies, meaning as you read, circle words that you do not understand or are unfamiliar to you. On the line phrases that you think are important, highlight passages or highlight, say for instance, a sentence that you want to come back to, or you can make a connection to if that's something that you're doing. So those are some of the things that pose a challenge because you're not in the physical environment. Now, we have a program, and a lot of people are familiar with what's the online program that we use? iReady.
iReady.
Thank you. It just slipped my mind because I'm focusing on so many things. I have my TV going and I'm doing that too, trying to watch that. So I'm multitasking. I apologize. So one of the things
for those who okay for those feature, not to interrupt you, but for those who are, we normally record prior to the uploading of the episodes on Sunday. So right now, today is January the 6th. This will be uploaded for this coming Sunday. So we all know what's happening right now in Washington, D.C. So this recording that we're doing right now is a great diversion from all the chaos that's taking place in D.C. Prayers and our thoughts and prayers, yes, do go out to the politicians and to everyone that's out there. But right now, we're just going to trying to remain focused on our episode to try and help educators to navigate this unprecedented time of working 100% virtually. Though we're tempted to want to look at the TV screen.
yeah. Thank you for that, Dr. Gordon, for refocusing me on that. So I can go into iReady. And so what I do is, instead of having iReady always generate lessons for students or assigning students a lesson that is simply a reading comprehension, I will assign instead a close reading a passage for the students. Now, what happens is that there's a text-to-speech feature. So students who are struggling with fluency can use that text-to-speech feature. Another feature it has is that it automatically bolds vocabulary words. So I am not there to front load the vocabulary words for the students, or if I did not front load the vocabulary words, what I will do is go through like a preview and say, here are some words that are highlighted. These are words that you should be writing down. And so here's the feature. You click on the bold words, and then iReady will give you a definition for the word, but it will also use the word in a sentence for your students. And so it will force students to reread the passage, because that's one of the strategies of close reading, is to have students reread the text more than once, and it slows down the reader, force them to go back into the text and look at one vocabulary words to clarify, to ensure that students get a better understanding of what they're reading. Because if there's a word that they don't understand, it might prevent the student from understanding the passage. And so this is really an important feature. So giving students, assigning students a teacher assigned lesson help you to personalize a lesson, say for instance, that you've already taught, but you know that the child struggles in certain areas, struggles in vocabulary, struggle in comprehension. And so you want to teach students these close reading strategies to help them to become better readers.
Right, no, that is awesome. And so did you find that to be a challenge at first, but now it's working more in your favor in helping the students and supporting the students?
Well, it helps, but it's not to the point where I could say, okay, we have this grand success. It's like little increments, right? And so right. At least we have something where I am not physically there. Even if I assign this for homework, I'm here. And I said, okay, I want you to reread this passage because we have done it in class together. Here are the areas that I noticed that you're struggling with. I noticed that you're struggling with this vocabulary word, or you're struggling with these two vocabulary words. So for homework, I want you to reread the passage, and I want you to become familiar with these two vocabulary words and try to write each of these in a sentence of your own creation. And that will demonstrate that the students are actively engaged in their own learning. And so when they come back, when they read that passage again, or when it's time for them to answer the comprehension question based on their performance, based on the results, you can tell the improvements. And so the improvement is not like huge. It's still a process. It's too soon to say, okay, you know, they have made this big improvement, but at least they have some tools and they have some strategies that could help them to develop their reading skills.
Right. And you also have additional support because you also have some paraprofessionals that work alongside you, so that you can assign some of those students into a breakout room, into Zoom, and have the paraprofessionals to work with those students and then have them brought back in again to the general class setting to continue the instruction. Have you also found that to be helpful as well?
Yes, Dr. Gordon, absolutely. So as you know, in a special education setting, we have students who perform on different levels. And so whereas I will have maybe three students who have the ability to access a close reading lesson on iReady, I might need to assign a few students to remedial skill. And so we group students sometimes, you know, based on different criteria. And one of them is that we have these breakout rooms where we assign a paraprofessional that could guide students to do some of those foundational skills that they need in order to help them to develop or progress as closely as possible to grade level or to read in the grade level text.
Right. And so we're sharing best practices of what you do in the classroom so that other educators can listen and also glean from your expertise. So this podcast is your master classroom and your platform to share as master teachers. And we have joining us Mrs. Peggy Benamini, one of our reading interventionists. And it's so great to have you join us, Mrs. Benamini. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. And as we started the podcast, we mentioned that we're not representing John H. Woodson Junior High School, neither the St. Croix School District. We're just sharing what we do individually from our perspective as educators so that other educators can listen and also gain some of what our experiences have been working 100% virtually from March 2020 to presently now, January 2021, what it looks like, what it feels like. So we're just sharing some pros, some successes and celebrations working 100% virtually, and then those areas for continued growth. And Ms. Stevens shared one that I love very much, where to get students held accountable and also parents, she has an exit ticket that she lets her students complete before they leave the classroom, where they have to send that exit ticket as in a form of an email to their parent and also to her. And then the parent has to send like an emoji saying thumbs up or a smiley face or I got it. And students get 20 points every day. And then on Friday, they get a culmination of 100 points if they were faithful and consistent in doing that. So that was one potential problem that she saw. And she found a solution to that problem. And so that's what we were sharing. Things that work 100%, working 100% virtually, and then those areas where there's still room for growth, but we found a solution to it. Do you have any, as a reading intervention teacher, are there any pluses, any celebratory experiences that you've had working online with students?
Well, finally, in December, there seemed to be a shift of, you know, both in my students and myself. I borrowed a grading strategy that I used with my oldest grandson, who was a reluctant reader. And in the summer, grandma is their reading teacher. And how did I get Iden to work? With stars, just a simple star on his paper. And on days where he got 3 stars, he was running around the house with the star. So I started to assign stars to the opening act for my instruction. And the students responded immediately. And I said, this is your participation grade. It's based on you must have 6 stars for the week for 100 for participation. So there's 1 or 2 at the beginning, maybe there's 1 in the middle, maybe there's 1 at the end, maybe there's none that day, but you have to be there and you have to be participating. And that started to, that immediately students started to respond to this silly star thing, a little incentive.
And little incentive goes a long way.
Goes a long way. And then we started to have plus 10 days. So the stars started to work. And I had been working on taking my reading lesson in apart, take it apart and into small pieces. So the vocab that was important in that lesson, that became the opening act a couple days a week. And that started to work. And then I started to teach them how the vocabulary questions would be asked right in that opening act. And that started to work. They not only started to respond to earning those stars or using those words in a sentence or a paragraph, they started to, on those little quizzes, they started to get those answers correct, because multiple students in the class would be using that same vocab term in their own sentence in order to earn a star. And the sentences could not be the same. So that became a little success. So I thought, oh, okay. So I teach strategies, and I thought, I'm going to do a plus 10 and then some days a plus 20. And here's how that goes. If you prove that you did my strategy with me, you took a picture of it and shipped it to me, or you did the ending piece of the strategy and you read it to me aloud, or you were the reader and the student answering during the class, I would assign a plus 10 or a plus 20. They would know ahead if it was a day where they could earn one of those. What's that? A plus 10 or a plus 20 is, my reading program is pretty intense and pretty tough. And I not only have to teach them how to read nonfiction and understand it, it finishes with 8 questions. And that sounds easy till you try some of those questions, because they are patterned after Smarter Balance comprehension questions. And so what a plus 10 or a plus 20 is that if you prove to me sometime before I assigned those questions that you had done my strategy, whether it was my 4-step or it was my 5 W's and H, whatever strategy I was teaching those couple weeks, if you proved to me you did it with that article and you earned a plus 20, that means on your score on those questions that you did by yourself at the end of that sequence, I added 20 points or I added 10 points. And let me tell you, they wanted those extra points because my reading program is tough. It is intensive. So if you get a 50 or a 63, but you have a plus 20 because you followed my strategy, suddenly you have an 83. And so that made a big difference in my instruction. And then I would start to weave a question through the lesson or a video through the lesson with a question after it for plus 10 or plus 20. So those little extra points that they could earn so that they could enjoy success, plus repeating the vocabulary in a little piece, the questioning style in a little piece, the video in a little piece, and then big points for following my strategy. Scores started to go up, and students started to not need those points, but they wanted those points. They wanted to say, did you get my plus 10 down, Miss B, in the notebook? Yep, I got your plus 10. Did I earn a full plus 20? Yep, you got a full plus 20. Can I take a picture of mine, Miss B? Yep, take a picture and send it. However they wanted to get it to me, I gave them points for it. So I think taking apart my reading lesson into little tiny bites and repeat, 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 and then adding the little points or stars in bites has helped a great deal. And finally, January 1st report, we have reading gains. Now, they aren't exactly where I want them, and it isn't enough students, but that's my personality, that it needs to be higher and it needs to be more.
It's about setting the bar high.
However, some of those students didn't even need me. Well, that's where we need them. We need them where they don't need Mrs. B, where they got the strategy. They're just going to click this off. They're
working independently.
Yeah. So that, So that was real encouraging to me that I now have a pattern. I now have a pattern of instruction that is working for a core group in every class. That means that I can start pulling in more students.
Right. Now, we hear in the States that, you know, we mentioned this early on the podcast, that there in some school districts have had school face-to-face 100% and had to close down because of the spikes of the virus and the loss of instructional time and learning being impacted by that. And individuals or critics of working virtually complaining, saying that students are losing because they're working virtually. Have you seen any loss, or have you seen, I'm hearing you saying that there's gains in reading, and we've been working 100% virtually.
Well, I think we have an advantage that our school district did this. I know that a lot of us were in shock. And when I tell you that I was on mute and because my students weren't telling me what to do, my students are, because when you're shifting screens and everything else, it's nothing to hit a switch on it and suddenly you're on mute or you have forgotten to flip the screen. So you have to have a student say, Miss B, do you think we see that? But so I think a lot of us were in shock when the Virgin Islands was going 100% virtual. However, my grandchildren are all in those situations where they either went a couple days of face-to-face and a couple days home, or they went full face-to-face. And then here's what happens. That's Colorado, Michigan, and Florida, and Maryland, if you wondered what states those are. So, and those are, of course, perfect grandchildren. Here's what have happened to their schools. They go to school, somebody gets infected. So everybody within 20 feet or something has to go home for 2 weeks. Everybody within 20 feet, right? So all of a sudden, with overnight notice, their children are at home and are online. So that continuity isn't there. Whereas, and both in the halftime school and in the full-time face-to-face school, that's what they're doing. 2 weeks in, 2 weeks out, 3 weeks in, 2 weeks out.
It's just much disruption, and that does impact instruction. It impacts learning. And I agree with you. Kudos to, okay, we're not speaking on behalf of them, but we have to give, this is an expression. Okay. We're giving jackets. So kudos to the United States Virgin Islands school districts that have, in their wisdom, leadership said, you know what, we're going to be safe as a community and make sure that we continue to be safe. And we're going to do instruction and learning, provide that 100% virtually. And every child received a Chromebook or a laptop. And also for those who did not have access to internet connectivity where they lived in their residential areas, a MiFi was provided for them. And for each school that a child was enrolled in, they had an opportunity to get a desk or a chair, whatever the combination might have been, so that the home could be conducted in such a way that it's conducive to learning. So the school district went above and beyond to ensure that an environment was created and the resources were provided to support instruction and learning. And as far as supporting instruction is concerned, as educators, teachers, as well as administrators, we've had professional development training like almost every week or every other week, bombarded with information to help to support and to empower us in what we're doing in providing instruction using technology. And so the pandemic happened, yes, we had no control over that, but we had control over how we responded to it. And again, thankfully for wise leadership that said, let's be safe, let's do this with intentionality to ensure that this is provided for our students and our faculty and staff and administrators so that instruction can continue and our students do not have any loss or do not lose out in their gains, whether it's in reading or math computational skills, just in academics, we want to make sure that they continue doing well. And so anyone can feel free to jump in. And I hear Mrs. Benamini saying that in reading, you saw some gains in Lexile levels.
Right. And that's measured by a really intensive company that's an independent party, not a Miss, you know, not a Mrs. B rating, not a, you know, not a fluency test, not a anything, but an independent party. And so that's really a high standard, and really says something to the children are getting more comfortable with the process. And maybe Mrs. B is getting the steps more in a more effective platform for more of the students. You know, I went to several online leadership trainings last summer, some of the leaders across the country, and one of them said, the CEO for a very pricey company, can I say that? But the CEO said, it doesn't really matter what your, it was about reading, doesn't really matter what tool you're using, just repeat, and you will have gains.
And repetition is the key to learning. You learn, forget, remember.
For that particular party to say that, I thought, well, this is interesting. Right.
And we did mention some other organizations and some other brand name companies that are supporting us in technology. So we use at the school for reading Achieve 3000. So we're plugging these different organizations, but we have found it to be very helpful for our students. And we're sharing best practices. And as master teachers, that is what is done at the school where you work. And we have seen evidence of that as recently as the fact that, and we're going to segue and then have to end this because we're getting kind of lengthy, in that we have received reaccreditation in all 12 standards set forth by Middle States Accreditation Association. And that's another stringent measuring bar that an outside entity uses to see if a particular institution or school meets those 12 criteria. And the bar is set pretty high. And even though there was a pandemic, the school and the teachers and students were able to demonstrate that they have met those standards by using the resources that the district has provided, and teachers holding students and also parents accountable to ensure that instruction does continue. And so we just slightly touched on that, but we'll have to kind of end the podcast by, you know, saying thank you for those tips that each of you have shared. Any last minute words of encouragement for educators, for teachers who are might be struggling working 100% online, or who might be in that hybrid situation or full face-to-face contact with students? What words of encouragement can you share with teachers who might be watching in the United States or anywhere else? And of course, here in the United States, Virgin Islands, we're very fortunate and blessed that we are working the way that we are, but we have a number of our friends and family in the States who are not as fortunate. Any words of advice or encouragement for them as we end?
I guess for teachers who may be struggling, when you look at yourself as an educator, you see how successful you are in terms of going to school and getting a job and just learning certain skills. Remember that we are there to give them their opportunities, and we're one of their only hopes. I'm sure they have other things that are hopeful for them and everything like that, but we need to give them that opportunity to feel successful and to have the opportunity to grasp success in their futures. And I would just say, just remember that we need to give them that opportunity. So don't feel that you're just working in vain. Every time you show up and you speak to those kids, every time you step onto your screen and you're there to say, look, hey, this is what we're doing today. This is what we're learning today. Whether they feel like they like it or not, or they want to be there or not, they see that you're there for them and that you're giving them academic opportunities. So just continue to do it and just be there for them. It's our job. This is what we do.
Okay. Right. So having a support network in place also helps as well, just to encourage our spirits as we navigate this time that we're living.
But I just want to say thank you for having me on your podcast. It was good to see Dr. Camacho, Mrs. Blanini, I could hear Ms. Stevens. So I just want to say thank you and Happy New Year's to everyone.
Hey, Happy New Year's to you as well. Thank you for joining and for sharing as well.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sure. Any last minute words or comments from anyone else as we end our podcast?
I would just like to say that, you know, I want to piggyback on what Mr. Kraske said. He's right on target. I think it's just imperative that we always try to combine our course concept learning with, you know, of course, we always customize and personalize it as much as possible, but make it relative to the student. You know, we here in the Caribbean, you know, we're unique in so many ways. And so, you know, it's imperative that we try to make sure that we're including all of the cultural aspects in our concept, in our core, and making sure that we can relate it, help them to be able to relate it as much as possible so that they're excited about learning, just as we're excited about teaching.
Well said. I don't even need a comment. I mean, pearls of wisdom that are dropped from our master teachers. Thank you so much, Ms. Stevens, for sharing that. And that's encouraging to me as well, listening to this, so that even as an administrator, I can know how to support teachers and help to empower them as well as they assist our students during this unprecedented time. Any other last minute thoughts or words of encouragement?
I would suggest that it's nice when teachers have a group of other coworkers to talk to brainstorm, because it helps relieve stress and share, and so that every day when you get back into the classroom is a brand new day. So you're not taking on too much stress, and involve parents in the student struggles. I've noted that a lot of parents that I've been able to contact, they're willing. You know, we have a few that we all know, but most of your parents, they want to know. They want to know what is going on. Why is Joe not passing? You know, so that is important. And I think one good thing that our school did was finally meet with all our parents during Teams. That made a huge impact, because the students the next day or the next few days and the parents knew this is serious. We need to get it together. And I think because we've been so consistent with our message and consistent with the platform and the virtual learning, I think this half of the school year is going to be so much better for that.
Right, so collaboration, not just, you know, having a support network in place for faculty and staff, but also in addition to that, having that collaboration with parents and students at least once a month or once a week, if that's possible, just to let them know that we're all on the same page. Those behavioral expectations are still set high and are going to be maintained, although we're working 100% virtually. Here's what the expectations are, and we're here to support and to empower all of us to move forward and just be the difference that makes that positive difference in the lives of everyone. So collaboration and the continued support and empowerment is what's needed. Networking helps, and just remaining in touch with each other helps. No, I agree. I concur. Thank you for sharing that. Ms. Pryor or Mrs. Benamini, any last thoughts before we end? Words of encouragement?
I would say that my last thought would be to some of the teachers who aren't as fortunate as we are, that we have made it through this entirely online. So we have routines and we have expectations and we have little treats and prizes in line, and we have lessons that are becoming real effective for our students. But to the teachers that are in the other forums that are still moving back and forth, perhaps an idea would be that paper pencil lessons, when your students are sent home, if you've planned ahead that you know your students are going to roll in and out of the classroom for the next several months yet, when they are in a group that needs to quarantine at home, perhaps paper pencil lessons that are in that repetition stage, repeat, 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 so that they're not going home trying to do something that that they're not familiar with in that platform. so that they're real familiar with, you know, I think that you face-to-face is ideal as far as I'm concerned. However, right now, face-to-face isn't working and it isn't stable for us. So for the teachers that are caught in that rotation, have some lessons that when they go home, you know those students have something from your hands to their hands that are for that particular occasion that they can tackle, that they can keep moving forward.
Right.
Because you won't be next to them at that dining room table when they're caught at home again.
That is true. And thank you for sharing those positive words of encouragement. And we have run out of time. I wish we could just keep on talking. This has been wonderful. I enjoyed this. But thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your insights and encouragement. And I usually end the podcast by saying, you know, we have faith, we have hope, and we have love. The greatest of these is love. And it's just our love for our profession of what we do and love for our students and wanting the best for them. And yeah, we do tend to be strict and hard because we see the potential that they have. And we want them to work to their fullest potential, providing them with the supports that they need. So thank you so much for joining me on Positive Solutions with Dr. Gordon. And I will see you next week.
Thank you for joining Positive Solutions with Dr. Gordon as we learned about different perspectives of contemporary social and educational issues. We hope to educate and encourage as we analyze those topics that are important to you. Please continue to join us every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, as new episodes are uploaded on your favorite podcast directory. Don't forget to subscribe by clicking on the link below this episode and respond to our fun trivia questions at drgordonpodcast1@gmail.com. Remember, become that positive difference that creates a positive outcome in the lives of others, as well as in your own life. See you next Sunday afternoon on Positive Solutions with Dr. Gordon.